Thank you very much. Proverbs chapter 4 this evening. Proverbs chapter 4. And let me begin reading in verse number 5. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 5. God's word says, Proverbs 4, verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, it's talking about wisdom. Forsake her not, she shall preserve thee. Love her, she shall keep thee. Verse number 7, I want you to notice this statement. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Alrighty? Wisdom is the principal thing. So that's what we are going to consider tonight. Wisdom. Principal thing simply means it's the main thing. That's a pretty powerful statement. When you take the Bible with all that it covers for all of human history and eternity past, eternity future, all the 7+ billion people on the earth currently, plus all the billions that have lived before, you've got heaven, you've got earth, you got hell. You've got all the places, you've got humans, you've got angels, you've got demons, you've got all this stuff. And to say out of everything there is, out of human life, civic life, social life, political life, military life, financial life, spiritual life, all those areas of life, to say that one thing is the main thing, one thing is the principal thing, that is powerful. If the Bible says that there's one thing that is the principal thing, we ought to pay attention. And it does say that one thing is the principal thing, and that principal thing, of course, is wisdom. And it gives the obvious a response to that truth. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, because wisdom is the principal thing, get wisdom. That makes common sense. It makes obvious sense, doesn't it? If it's the principal thing, get it. If it's an important thing, get it. If there's some value to it, get it. If it's helpful, then get it. But if it's the principal thing, by all means, at all costs, get it. Out of everything that you could possibly get, wisdom is the principal thing. There's a lot of things that are important, but you can't get. Wisdom is important, and it's the principal thing, and you can get it. So get it, the Bible says. Get wisdom. Verse number 5 says it again. Get wisdom. Get it. It is gettable. It is available. It is accessible. You can get wisdom. So I want to talk about wisdom tonight. It's one of my favorite subjects to talk about, one of my favorite subjects to study about. There's a lot, obviously, in the Bible about it because it is the principal thing. Now, frankly, there are some people who would have trouble with the statement that the main thing or the most important thing or the principal thing is wisdom. There are a lot of people who preach loud and long about the fact soul winning is the main thing. And I appreciate their sentiment. And I understand what they're saying, but that's not scripture. Now, he that winneth souls is wise, chapter 11 of Proverbs 30 says. It's wise to win souls. And in order to win souls, you got to be wise. But the wisdom has to precede the winning of souls. You don't know how to win souls if you're not wise. Some people say, well, salvation is the main thing. That really is the principal thing. The most important thing ever is salvation. Well, you got to have wisdom for that too. The Bible says it's the scriptures in 2 Timothy 3:15 that are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Anything you're going to know about salvation, namely that you need to be saved and how you can be saved, is coming from the scriptures. And so you got to have that wisdom in order to be saved. You got to have that wisdom in order to tell other people how to be saved. You got to have that wisdom in order to be able to win people to the Lord. You got to have wisdom for your life. You got to have wisdom for your marriage. You got to have wisdom for your children. You got to have wisdom for your testimony in your neighborhood and at work and every single area of your life. You got to have wisdom. You really got to have wisdom. As the day in which we live gets further and further away from our heritage as Americans and further, therefore, away from the Bible, and life gets much more complicated, much more complex, we got to have more and more wisdom. And the good thing about wisdom is, not only is it the principal thing, but there's plenty of it. There's plenty of it. There's wisdom for everything. And there's all the wisdom that you need. So let me just give you some simple things about wisdom tonight. I don't know if this will develop into a little short series or not. It may. I would be delighted if it did, because I love the subject of wisdom and I love the book of Proverbs. I would love to teach out of Proverbs every single Wednesday night till the Lord comes, or until I go, whichever. And I'd love to. If the Lord would let me and if the Lord would want me to, I'd jump right at that chance. Let's talk about wisdom. First of all, let me give you a definition of wisdom. You know the definition that we try to use around here. There's lots of definitions about wisdom. You can get them out of the dictionary and find all kinds of fancy formal definitions of wisdom. You can find just some descriptive wisdom or definitions of wisdom. One of the more common ones is simply that wisdom is the ability to use knowledge correctly. Some people define it that way. That's a good definition. I like this definition of wisdom, the ability to think and act scripturally is another definition of wisdom. The ability to think and act scripturally. That's a good definition. I like that definition. But my favorite definition, and the one that that I use, and the one that I teach our young people at school and things like that, and the one that I try to teach us here at church too, is wisdom is simply seeing things the way God sees them. Seeing things the way God sees them. That's pretty much the same as the idea of thinking and acting scripturally. Thinking scripturally, or thinking about things the way that God does. Or seeing things, looking at them the way that God looks at them, seeing them the way that God sees them. If we can do that, that's wisdom. Well, you know, situations arise and we tend to look at them through our eyes, through our experiences, through our preferences, through our prejudices and biases and all those other things. And when we do, we oftentimes and most times are not seeing it the way God sees it. We need to look at things not through our eyes, but through God's eyes. And we do have God's eyes in the Bible, essentially. All righty? So let's use the definition for wisdom, seeing things the way God sees them. If we would see, for example, our marriages the way God sees them, we'd have wisdom about marriage. If we could see our children the way God sees them, we would see our children differently. If we would see the training of our children, the education of our children, the discipline of our children the way God sees them, then we'd have wisdom about the educating of our children and the training of our children and the discipline of our children, we'd have wisdom about that. If we saw money the way that God sees money, then we'd have wisdom about money. We'd be wise with its use and wise in spending it and earning it, and how we get it and what we do with it when we do have it. And we'd just be wise about it, right? We'd be wise about our relationship with other people if we would see those kind of relationships the way God sees them and look at it the way God looks at it. We'd have wisdom about things. We'd know what to say and what not to say. We'd look at our speech differently, the way we talk to people and the things we talk about and the way we say the things that we say. We would look at it differently if we looked at it the way God looked at it. We'd be wise about that. Alrighty? We'd see the world completely different if we looked at it the way God looks at it. If we see it the way God sees it, we would see it completely different than the way our own self or our flesh sees it. Alrighty? So, for definition, we'll use this one. Seeing things the way God sees them. So tonight, let me just start off with simple, elementary, ABC, ground level truth about wisdom. Number one, the source of wisdom. The source of wisdom. Chapter 2 of Proverbs. The source of wisdom. Seeing things the way the Lord sees things is the Lord Himself. Chapter 2, verse number 6 says quite simply, "For the Lord giveth wisdom." For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So the source of wisdom is the Lord. In Colossians chapter 2, verse number 3, you don't need to turn there, but Colossians 2 and verse number 3, referring to Christ, says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, the Bible says, are hid in Christ. And so we're saying that He is the source of wisdom, of true wisdom, of Bible wisdom, of seeing things the way God sees things. We need to go to the Lord for that. That's where we will find it. It's hid in Him. When it says it's hid in Him, that doesn't mean it is put up somewhere where you don't have access to it and you can't find it. And God has hid it because He doesn't want you to have it. No, it's hid there in the sense that that's where it's at. I have a lot of things hidden at my house, you know, important documents and, you know, papers and things like that. But I know exactly where they are. I can get them. If I need you to get them, I can tell you exactly where they are, and you can go get them. I've told my kids where our will is and things like that. I haven't told them where the money is. That's easy. We don't have any, but they're hid, but they're not inaccessible. Anybody that needs it, anybody that needs to know, I can direct you right to where they are, and you don't need a crowbar or nothing like that. So whatever that's worth. But anyway, wisdom, all the treasures of it, are hid in Christ, the Bible says. Now, hid means they're put up. They're there. You notice verse number 7, He lays it up. He lays up sound wisdom. All righty? He doesn't just leave it laying around. He lays it up. And so that's the sense in which He has it hid. In other words, it's put away. You can go get it if you want it, but it's hid. It's hid because the only way you're going to get it is on purpose. You're not going to stumble over it, and you're not going to accidentally get wisdom. As we will have a lesson, I don't know if it'll come in this lesson or maybe next week's lesson, on, you know, getting wisdom that we noted in chapter 4 and 5, something you got to do on purpose. So in that sense, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hid in Christ. But a point is, the source of wisdom is the Lord. Now, I want you to back up to chapter 1. When we say that the source of wisdom is the Lord, in other words, that's where you're going to get it from. And by the way, that's the only place you're going to get it from. That's the only place you're going to get Bible wisdom is from the Lord. And do we need to say that when we talk about wisdom, we're talking about Bible wisdom. We're not talking about other kinds of wisdom. For example, the Bible talks in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 about the wisdom of the world. We're not talking about that. What the world thinks is true and right, and how the world looks at things, or even how the world thinks God sees things. And the world is very, very religious, and they do think that God sees things, but they think God sees things completely different than the way the Bible says that God sees things. So we're not talking about worldly wisdom. Wisdom of this world, as it's called. We're talking about Bible wisdom, true wisdom, wisdom from the Lord. The only place you're going to get it from is the Lord. He's the source of wisdom. Now, that wisdom then that we get from the Lord begins with a right heart toward God, a right attitude, if you please, about God. Chapter 1, verse number 7. The Bible says in chapter 1, verse number 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. In other words, you're not going to know anything if you despise wisdom and instruction. Fools do that. But the beginning of the whole process here is the fear of the Lord. Look in chapter 9 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 9, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The holy is God. God is the holy. And then that would include all the things of God. Namely, the Bible, the Holy Spirit, things of God. Knowing God, that's understanding. So, wisdom is a principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. You get wisdom from the Lord, and as you get it from the Lord and thus know the Lord, then you get understanding also. But a point is that this the wisdom from the Lord as its only source begins with the right view of God. The right view of God. If we're going to look at things the way God looks at things, the first thing we've got to do is look at God the right way. We've got to see God the right way. And that includes and begins with a holy, healthy fear of God. Matter of fact, Job 28 and verse number 28 says the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. That is wisdom. Wisdom begins with the wisdom to fear God. Chapter 1 again. Verse number 5. Chapter 1, verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. So to learn, you got to have some wisdom to do that. And it begins with a fear of God. And so our point is that the Lord is the source of wisdom. And it begins, if you're going to see things the way God sees things, you have to see God the way the Bible presents Him. You have to see God the way that He is. You have to see God the way God sees God. That's the first thing you got to see. And if you do not, quite frankly, I say you, I'm talking about just not necessarily you, personally, particularly talking about people in general, a person who does not see God the way God sees God and does not see God the way the Bible gives God to us and presents God to us, then you have not started to get wisdom. You haven't even taken step one with the beginning of wisdom. Look in Jeremiah chapter number 8. Now, this is a very, very important truth. This may brand you in the eyes of the world. Proverbs, or not Proverbs, Jeremiah chapter 8, verse number 8 and 9. Notice what God's word says. How do you say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes were the people responsible for copying the words of God. The pen of the scribes is in vain. Verse 9, the wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? Now, there is a statement or a truth that is hard for a lot of people to say. And it's hard for a lot of people to admit. That a person who rejects the Lord rejects wisdom. They reject the word of the Lord, and they reject wisdom. And you cannot and do not have wisdom if you reject the word of the Lord. That sounds like an ugly statement. But really, it's a very simple statement, but it's a very true statement. They might have a lot of knowledge. They might have a lot of information. They might have a lot of logic. They might have a lot of reasoning. But when it comes to seeing things the way God sees things, they don't have any. They don't have that wisdom because they reject the source of wisdom. They reject step number one. You cannot skip over step number one and go straight to step two or three or ten or whatever. You begin with the fear of the Lord. You must see God the way God sees God. You cannot be one of those in Romans chapter number one who change the truth of God into a lie, and because you change the truth of God into a lie, you worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, and you think man is the end of all things and the great source of wisdom. You can't do that. You cannot change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like you corruptible man, as the Bible says. You cannot see God as no more than just man. You can't even see God as a man that happens to be smarter than your average man. You cannot see God as a man because he is not a man, the Bible says in Numbers chapter 23. I believe it's verse number 9. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. That's not God. All right? God is not like us. To whom will you liken me? The Lord asked in Isaiah, and the answer is there's nobody that you can. There is none like me, he said. No human being is like God. We cannot see God from man's eyes and think that God is like man. God is not like man. God is like God, and nothing else, and nobody else is like God. And we got to have that. We got to have that settled in our heart with a holy, healthy fear of God Almighty that created us, that is true and holy and right and everything else that he is. We understand that there is a God, and it's not us. And we sit back, as Isaiah 66 says, we tremble at his words. Because he's God. He's never wrong. He's never mistaken. He knows everything. Wisdom begins, seeing things the way God sees things begins with seeing God the way God sees God. And to see God that way, just about automatically, provokes a fear of the Lord. And that's where it all starts. And a person that doesn't, that rejects God, that changes God, that rejects the word of the Lord, what wisdom is in them? The truth of the matter is they don't have any. That's why the Bible says, blessed is the man, Psalm 1:1, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, or whichever order that is. You don't do that because there's no wisdom there. It doesn't matter how many letters they have after their name that we call degrees. That don't matter. That's not the same as wisdom. Education is not the same as wisdom. Diplomas and certificates and degrees are not the same as wisdom. Wisdom is seeing things the way God sees things. You can go to college for 27 years and have every degree that there is possible to obtain and still not have wisdom. On the other hand, you could be still not even out of high school yet and have wisdom because you're able to see things the way God sees things. And if something comes up and say, well, I wonder how God sees that. I wonder how God looks at that. I don't know how God looks at that. You know the source of finding out how God looks at it. You can always go back to the Lord and find and get that wisdom. Get God's viewpoint on anything. The source of wisdom is the Lord. It begins with a right view of God. Now, back to Proverbs again. Chapter 1. That's the beginning. It's not the whole process. That's the beginning. It is offered to us through God's words. Again, chapter 2, verse number 6, the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. That's his words. Alrighty? So we go back to chapter 1 again, in verse number 20, wisdom speaks to us. And wisdom says, in verse number 20, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets, she crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city, she uttereth her words, saying, verse 22, this is what wisdom itself says. How long, you simple ones, will you live simplicity, love simplicity? And the scorners delight in the scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. All righty. The source of wisdom is the Lord. It begins with a right view of God. And this wisdom is offered to us through the Bible. You notice, I will make known my words unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Now, let me say this. Chapter 1 of Proverbs tells us the primary reason for the book of Proverbs. Chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Very first reason for the book of Proverbs, to know wisdom. To know wisdom. To know how God sees things. To know how to look at things the way God looks at it. To know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom. Not only to know it, but to receive it. Righty? To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. You notice this is written for young people. It's written as a dad to his son. As you go through Proverbs, you'll see several times, my son, my son, my son. This is dad writing to his boy. It's written for young people. That's why I've been telling young people for as long as I can remember, you need to read Proverbs. You need to read every day. Proverbs has 31 chapters. I don't think that's an accident. You read one chapter every day of the month. Today is the seventh day of the month. You should have read or should read Proverbs chapter 7 today. Tomorrow, read chapter 8. All righty? And then Monday or Friday, I guess that's after tomorrow, isn't it? That's the next day. So you read chapter 9. Saturday, you read the 10th. Sunday, you read the 11th. You go all the way through, and by the end of the month, you read the whole book of Proverbs. And then come Sunday the 1st of September, you start over and you do it again. And young people can read Proverbs. Young people can read Proverbs. About 90% of the words in Proverbs are two-syllable words or less. 75 and 80% are one-syllable words. One-syllable words in Proverbs. It's written so young people can read it, and it's written so that they can know wisdom and instruction. They can receive the instruction of wisdom. And it's written to give subtlety to the simple and to the young man knowledge and discretion, and a wise man will hear it and will increase learning. But our point is, this wisdom is that's from the Lord, begins with the right view of God, is offered to us through the Bible. Immediately and directly in a concise, concentrated form in Proverbs, obviously, you get wisdom from the whole Bible, because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The whole Bible is profitable for that. So you get wisdom out of everything, out of the whole Bible, but in a very concise, concentrated, compact way, you got a whole book just of wisdom, just full of wisdom. Proverbs. Read Proverbs. Devour Proverbs. Read it every day for a month. Start over. Read it again 12 times a year. You read this 12 times a year, and then you do it again next year, and you do it again another year and another year. The next thing you know, you've read this thing scores of times. And I first heard that principle, that idea in 1979 or 80, is either the first or second year we went to the Bill Rice Ranch. A little short guy that worked there at the ranch, his name was Daryl Nichols, and he's the one that presented that to us at the Bill Rice Ranch one day. And ever since then, in 79 or 80, I took him up on it, and been doing that ever since. And so between all the times I read it all at one setting, plus all the times just going through it, a chapter a day, I figure I'm closing in probably 500 times through Proverbs. I would love before I die to have most of it memorized. Haven't got that. Ain't even got close. Probably not going to happen, but it's a nice, noble goal to keep my brain from going to sleep. But anyway, wisdom is offered through the Bible, through the Bible. Wisdom says, I'm making my words known unto you. Now notice how he does that. He does that as he does any Bible truth. He says, I'll pour out my spirit unto you in verse 23. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us wisdom. I'll pour out my spirit unto you, and in so doing, he makes known my words unto you, he says. So the Holy Spirit is what illuminates the truth of God's word and shows you God's mind and how God looks at things. And when you see that in the Bible, because the Holy Spirit shows it to you, it's not just black words on white paper. And you read it and say, okay, I read that, but I don't know anything that I didn't know before. That's not it. You read it, and the Holy Spirit speaks to you. You read it, and the Holy Spirit makes it known to you. Now, obviously, it doesn't make the whole thing known to you all at the same time. This is an ongoing thing. You need wisdom every day, and you need wisdom every day that you live. You need wisdom for the day, and you need wisdom for tomorrow, and you need wisdom for all your life, and you get it as you go. Proverbs, or not Proverbs, but Isaiah says you get it line upon line, here a little, there a little, and you stay at it, and you stay at it, and you stay at it, and God's Spirit makes known God's words, and lo and behold, you're starting to see what God sees. And when you do, and the more you do, you have wisdom. And the more you do, the more wisdom you have. This is not something that's reserved just for old people. Young people can start getting wisdom. And the Holy Spirit is the one that shows you the wisdom, and the wisdom that he shows you is the wisdom that you need. In other words, he's not going to show, you know, some 14-year-old kid wisdom about retirement funds. But he may show him wisdom about obeying mom and dad. He may show him wisdom about doing what you're supposed to do today, because you know what? That's what they need today. Now, somewhere down the line, he'll probably show him wisdom about retirement preparation and stuff like that. But it's probably not going to be when he's 12 or 13 or 14 or even 16 or 17. He might, but, you know, then he can retire a gazillionaire and so forth. If you can live long enough for them to retire, then they'll have good funds to take care of you. But you'll probably be in heaven by that. Won't even care. But the point is, the Holy Spirit is the one that makes known God's words to you. And when he does, that's when you see things exactly the way God sees things. And that's wisdom. You know, when you get to be a teenager and you start noticing that girls don't have cooties and all this kind of stuff, and every boy doesn't stink, then, you know, you look in the Bible and God will start showing you some things that you need to know. And you can start seeing this whole thing about boys and girls the way God sees it. And you can have some real wisdom, because that's what wisdom is, seeing it the way God sees it. And you get it from the Lord. You get it from the Lord. And you get it through the Bible, and you get it as the Holy Spirit makes it known to you. The Lord, our point is the source of wisdom. He is the source of wisdom. And wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get it. And get it from the Lord, because that's the only place you can. It is available no other place. You say, well, I don't know the Lord. I'm going to have to find somewhere else. Well, sorry. It is no other place. It's kind of like salvation. You get salvation from the Lord, or you don't get it, because there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. And there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you can get wisdom either. It's from the Lord. The Lord giveth it. Alrighty, so it is a principal thing, therefore get it. So let's go on next week then. Since it says, therefore get wisdom, we'll talk about getting it. Alrighty. And you know, in other words, we'll build on the Bible and the Holy Spirit. Alright, we'll go from there. Let's stand tonight and pray, and then lead us in a going home song. We'll be dismissed. Appreciate you being here today. Please remember to pray for Debbie and Richard in the morning as they go through this transplant process. This is a major deal, and pray that God would be gracious and bless in a wonderful way. Pray for Brother and Mrs. Kraft, too. I know they're just nervous, so pray for them. All righty. Dear Lord, we are so grateful tonight that we have the Word.